Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The South Dakota legislature will conduct interim studies of industrial hemp and the meth epidemic as they look ahead to the 2020 session. And State Representative Skylar Borglum is traveling South Dakota talking with people about how to make education more accessible in rural areas. The Dakota Political Junkies are here to visit about these topics and others. We welcome Noel Hamill. He's a former legislator and member of the South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame. He's joining us from the Black Hill Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Rapid City studio. Welcome back from your vacation, Noel. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Thanks. It's snowing here.
Oh, that's sort of a bummer, isn't it? Not too unexpected, though, in April in the Black Hills.
Nope.
And joining us from the Tom and Danielle Ammon Foundation studio in Aberdeen, Northern State University Professor of Political Science and Department Chair, John Schaff. Hi, John.
Hi, good to be here. No snow in Aberdeen.
No snow in Aberdeen. I'm looking out the window in Sioux Falls. No snow here either. Now that's your weather update. Let's get to the political news. And let's start with this notion of interim study. So the South Dakota legislature has decided to study industrial hemp and the meth epidemic. Those are two separate studies, we should note. They're not connected to each other. But what can we tell about, although some people feel otherwise, see how I did that there? But what can we tell about what they decide to study and what they, you know, what has support to sort of, you know, look into, you know, do you read the tea leaves here a little bit, Noel?
Well, you know, there were a number of topics that were on the table, and I talked to some lawmakers about the ones that didn't get selected. But I don't know. I guess it's probably a good idea to study industrial hemp, given all the time that was spent on that bill this past session. I think there's still a lot of confusion about hemp and how it's different from marijuana. Part of that, I think, is that, you know, our state has been pretty much one of the last strongholds against legalization of recreational marijuana and even medical marijuana. But as you know, the cannabidiol debate a year ago was sort of a step forward in legalizing that extract. So, you know, the hemp thing, even though states have the option to use it according to the new Farm Bill, I think there was still a lot of squeamishness about hemp, despite the overwhelming support in the legislature for it. So I guess the study is probably an attempt to bring this finally to resolution. That's my take on it.
John, do you think that there are specific things that lawmakers are saying we need to know before we can move forward? Or is this more of an educational process to say, we already knew it, but we couldn't get it to override Governor Noem's veto, so now we have to lay the groundwork so that people understand, you know, the facts here? Which one do you think it's sort of leaning toward?
Well, yeah, it's probably a combination of both, but I think it's probably more the latter than the former, because obviously you had strong majorities in the legislature in favor of industrial hemp, but just not enough to overcome the governor's veto. And part of the governor's veto was precisely, she said that she wants to know more and she's waiting to know more. And so the legislature, you could say, has taken her up on that offer, and they're going to do a summer study to educate, I'm sure, not just themselves, but they want to educate the public. And part of that, I think, is going to educate the governor as well. So when this inevitably does come up next session, they can say to the executive branch, we did this study, we got all this information, and based on certain concerns that the governor has laid out about hemp production, they can directly respond to her objections. And this is one of the few tools that the legislature has, is to do these summer studies, because when the governor and her staff are there all the time, but the legislature is only part-time, the way for the legislature is sort of to gather information that they can use against the governor, against the executive branch when there is a disagreement, is the summer study is one of the few resources that the legislature has, and that's what I suspect that they're doing.
So, John, do you see it as sort of a healthy process to overall to say, hey, there's this issue, and or, you know, other people have criticized, you know, the governor and those who didn't want to move forward on this for, you know, being a little late to the game. But one of the things they're studying is requirements for registration and license and permits and access, seat access. There are things that need to be worked out, do you think?
Well, yeah, I think I tell my American government students about a billion times every semester that according to the founders of our country, the problem of democracy is not that it acts too slowly, but that it acts too quickly. And so we're far more likely to make bad legislation if we act too quickly and thoughtlessly than if we take some time. And if I was going to make an error, I'd rather make the error of acting a little bit too slowly than acting a bit too hastily. And even though, our legislature is strongly in favor of industrial hemp, and it is not quite the supermajority required to override a veto. And, my own view and view of some people I've talked to in agriculture is they don't really have a problem with industrial hemp. The governor has slowed things down a little bit. And like I said, I'd rather be too slow than too fast. And so to me, it seems like this is a process that's working, that we're going to get a strong consensus on this thing. And I don't know, I'm bad at prognosticating, but my guess is that next year a similar bill will pass and that the governor will sign it.
Noel, what did not make the cut for interim studies, and what can we learn from the fact that certain things ended up on the legislative cutting room floor?
Well, one of the topics that did make the cut, of course, was the study of meth addiction. One of the ones that didn't, and I don't have a list in front of me, was legalizing, I believe it's Spanish, for driver's license testing. And there was a big push from both Sioux Falls and Rapid City to legalize Spanish for those who don't speak English or limited English when they take their driving tests. And the impetus for this was we need to allow these people to get driver's licenses so they can get to work, because contractors need the employees, and I understand that. I thought it was a bad idea, because as things stand now, people that have limited knowledge of English can, in fact, take a translator to the test with them. Companies that need to hire people of limited English could certainly help those folks on their own. They don't need state government to do it. But I just wanted to comment on John's take on the study of hemp. I think he's exactly right, and Governor Noem got a lot of criticism. People would say, "Well, how could Noem not know that hemp is vastly different from marijuana?" But her reasons, primarily that the state just wasn't ready for it, not just the licensing, but the testing to make sure that the THC content of whatever sample is brought in. All of that business is maybe a little bit more complicated than we knew. And so I agree with John. I think that slowing down the process was a good move.
Noel, do you think they should have been more prepared than they were, though? Because it's not as if people didn't see, the issue of industrial hemp, landing in South Dakota State House. I remember asking people, with the State Ag Department, are we prepared? And they always answered, well, yes, we're prepared to capitalize on it if it happens, but it hasn't happened yet, so we're not really going to, So should they really have, should that groundwork have already been done, would be my question.
Well, perhaps. And there's a political aspect of this that I'm a little reluctant to bring up, but I suppose there's a possibility. I mean, some skeptics might say that this was partially motivated by the governor to prove her conservatism or a nod at the conservative base that's against legalization of all drugs. Remember last year, the cannabidiol debate. Now we've got the legalization of hemp. The next step will be medical marijuana. I mean, this issue is a pretty it can be the kind of issue that maybe the governor wanted to make sure that she did take her time on. As far as preparation, I can't answer that. Maybe they should have been, Lori. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the other, the meth epidemic as another annual interim study. That decision was made, and this is a look at state government resources and rehab services available in the state. You know, what's working, what's not working. John Schaff, the value of studying the meth, you know, the meth problem in the state. We've talked so much about opioids, and law enforcement officers, whenever you have that question, bring the conversation back to meth and say, this is a resurgence of a problem that is unfortunately not going away.
Yeah, so if we, you know, separate out these two summer studies we're talking about, what it tells us is that and those that didn't make the cut is that the legislature has, they're setting priorities. And so one priority is some of that passed, but the governor feels like she needs more information on. And then we have this other thing that we see this kind of increasing problem of meth. And so not unlike what we've seen with the nursing homes in this past session, this sort of thing that's been building for a number of years and is finally kind of coming to a head. And so there needs to be some coordination of, especially that I think probably what we can anticipate is some legislation coming out next year, and which will require some expenditures of money. And unlike what happened with the hemp issue, even though, you know, they're kind of separable, but what, you know, what you've got is precisely with hemp that we were just talking about with Noel, is that this is what happens when you have a part-time legislature. And then in this case, a new governor is, maybe they weren't prepared. I'm not faulting anybody. I'm giving an institutional explanation for it, is something kind of fell into the state's lap, and nobody really was ready for it when your legislature is part time and your governor is new. Well, now we've got a problem with meth, and, you know, and the opioid crisis that has been building up over a period of time. And it seems like what the legislature is saying is that next year we really want to tackle this, but we are not prepared yet. And so a summer study is the way that a part-time, unprofessional, non-professional, I should say, legislature goes about getting prepared to do something in our relatively truncated legislative session coming up in 2020.
Mm. Noel Hamel, that brings to mind last year's study, interim study on mental health and mental health services throughout the state, which was, you know, this session branched off into different committees to do more study. And your experience, what, Noel, makes an effective interim study so that the study can, you know, be particularly useful? Is it a broad thing like this? Is it a super narrow thing like maybe industrial hemp might be?
I think the way to make those studies successful is to come out of those studies with specific recommendations that can be converted into legislation. Big picture is a place to start, but then you have to drill down into actual solutions. Couple of points I'd like to make on the summer studies. One, I asked one lawmaker, I said, so I see that nursing homes and Medicaid is not on the list of summer studies. Does that mean that you've solved all the problems relating to funding for nursing homes and that we don't have to worry about that? And, of course, I got sort of a joking response, because that was an issue that was deferred.
Right.
It's a major issue, and I was thinking that would be maybe worthwhile. The summer study on meth, it's a huge problem in our state. Most of the focus has been on, you know, rehabilitation, whether the laws should be changed on drug arrests. I sincerely hope that the study focuses more on cause and not symptoms. I mean, how can we ever hope to reduce the number of drug violations or meth violations if we don't focus on addressing the root cause instead of just the outcomes?
And I want to go back to something John Schaff mentioned earlier about making legislation slowly versus dealing with things, you know, more quickly. And let's shift a little bit to this habitat bill and the veto, the style and form veto. And some lawmakers were complaining about, you know, it being pushed through in a way they didn't appreciate. John, any insight into sort of Governor Noem's style and form veto and what that says about the process itself?
Well, the complaint about the veto from some legislatures is that the purpose of this particular kind of veto is to clean up a kind of, as the name of it suggests, a style error, or if you know there's some sort of typographic mistake, or you know it's to clean up a mess. And what she's doing is she used the style and form veto for what is really a policy disagreement. I don't know that it's a super serious policy disagreement, but nonetheless, it's a policy disagreement. And so then you know, she kind of caught, I think, the Republican caucus between a rock and a hard place, because you saw at least some of the members who are, shall we say, particular, very diligent in their application of the Constitution, didn't really like this, because at least on the face of it, it seems like this veto was not consistent with the purpose of a style and form veto, and others saying that at least that there's some ambiguity. And who really decides what is style and form? I suppose if the governor says this is an appropriate veto and she can get enough members of the legislature to say it's an appropriate veto, in a certain sense, it's an appropriate veto. But and this might be a kind of what Noel was talking about, the governor sort of trying to assert herself at the legislature. This strikes me as, I have no particular inside knowledge of it, but this strikes me as something where the governor is trying to say, this is something I want, and I'm willing to sort of, shall we say, push the boundaries of constitutional language in order to make this happen.
Noel, your thoughts?
I think she did push the boundaries. I guess if I'd have been in the legislature, I would not have voted for it. The Constitution doesn't always provide the clarity that we want, and this style and form veto is, as John says, you know, it's supposed to allow the legislature some latitude in fixing, say, typographical errors, or in some cases, ambiguity in the legislation. but it, you know, so then we have to define, say, ambiguity. And from where I stand, I don't think that the omission of the emergency clause is a typo or ambiguous. I think that's a substantive change in the legislation. And so I think that it was a step too far.
Does it set a precedent? Because that's the other concern, though.
Oh, I don't think it sets a precedent. I mean, the legislature changes every year, and it's not like the appellate court system. I mean, it just depends on, Laura, I think, you know, who's making the call.
Yeah. John, say something about the state constitution, because, you know, remember last session when we had, you know, a variety of ballot questions, I should say last election cycle, when we had a variety of ballot questions, that the state constitution was thrown around a lot as a sacred document and then bandied back and forth as, you know, you should see what's in that thing kind of conversation. Give us an overview of sort of how you view the state constitution.
It, you know, people do approach constitutions in different ways, and the purpose of constitutions is to set up certain processes and certain rules so we can anticipate how things are going to happen. And what we don't want as we go through our institutions of government and as they enact out their duties, we want both those duties of particular divisions to be clearly delineated. And then we set up certain processes to say that when you act in a way that's been preordained and that we've thought about these things. And so constitutions set up due process, which protects our rights. It delineates divisions of labor, separations of power, so we can have, you know, each division doing what it does best instead of getting into each other's business, as well as putting limits on government. And I think that, you know, the complaints of those who as Noel kind of just expressed, those who are opposed to the governor's veto on this, then the upholding of that veto, is that, you know, the words mean something. And when we start ignoring those words, then it allows more kind of the rule of will instead of the rule of law to win the day. Whereas, of course, then on the other hand, there are people who are going to look at things a little bit more pragmatically. And if we have to take broader interpretations of certain provisions, like, for example, no, what is an emergency? If we need to do that in order to make things work, so to speak, then maybe we should take that broader view of the Constitution. But I'd hope that there'd be basic agreement amongst everybody, because I think that the very fundamental purpose of constitutions, why we have them, is that we have processes in place, and you violate process and institutional boundaries at great peril.
Let's close with this, and it's State Representative Skyler Borglum going across the state and talking with people about how to make education in rural South Dakota more accessible. And that kind of brings us back to the beginning, Noel, because it is this notion of the work that is happening outside of the legislative session. Do you see value in this? Is this just one lawmaker trying to figure out where should my focus be? Is it part of a bigger conversation in the off session season?
Well, first of all, anytime there's an interest in outstate education, rural education in South Dakota, I'm pleased about it. There are some misconceptions. The small schools in our state have done a remarkable job in educating their students. I was looking at some South Dakota Department of Education numbers to try to prepare a little bit for this. And of the top 10 elementary schools based on test scores, these are the state testing scores, the top 10, half of those in the top 10 were small schools. I mean, schools like Kimball and Webster and Corsica and Centerville. And when you get to the high schools, 8 of the 10 were even better on state testing. Schools like Frederick, Ethan, Warner, McIntosh, Elk Point. So rural schools, small schools, are getting the job done, at least from that test score perspective. But I'm glad that we're looking at the access. I know that smaller schools do have some disadvantages, but I think strictly from an education standpoint, preparing them, say, for higher learning, I think they're getting the job done, and I think that probably Representative Borglum will find that to be true. I'm very happy that we have people that are concerned about rural education and that are wanting to gather information on that front.
We need to leave it there for today. We've had with us John Schaff. He is a Northern State University Professor of Political Science and Department Chair, joining us from the Tom and Danielle Ammon Foundation Studio in Aberdeen. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us for Dakota Political Junkies has been Noel Hamill. He's a former state legislator and member of the South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame, and he was with us from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital Studio.
Thanks,
in SDPB's Rapid City space. Thanks, Noel.
Yep, you bet.